It does our children a whole lot of good when they see mom and dad demonstrating affection for each other.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Did you know children actually come with an instruction book? In the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, which aired last week, Pastor Grant took from God's instruction book, the Bible, a number of practical qualities of parenting that model God's way of raising children for His glory. God's Word has much to say about parental discipline and responsibility, and Pastor Grant assured us that those qualities are part of God's plan for our families. He also assured us that God's way may not always be politically correct, but His ways are always right nevertheless. This evening, Pastor Grant finishes up that message entitled Keys to Successful Parenting, turning to a number of different scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to keep them handy as we listen once again to Pastor Grant. Here he is now, Pastor Grant.
And some people don't like these verses, and they will say, you know, these verses are trying to deny women the right to work out of the home. But they're wrong, because these verses are not denying anybody any rights. These verses are not about your rights, it's about responsibilities. And what these verses are saying, that no matter what a mom might decide to do, she has certain responsibilities to her family. Listen, men has responsibilities, women have responsibilities, and God says, because of the responsibilities, as we study the scripture, because of the responsibilities He has given a mom in the home, He has also given mom special abilities that no one else can do as well as a mother can. That was worth an amen. Because I am here to say to you that while our world is having us concentrate so much on women trying to make sure that they have the right to do anything a man can do, somehow we have lost focus on the fact that God has given women the ability to do something that no man can do. And God has given you the ability to do things that nobody can do as well as you can. So if you want to do everything I can, help yourself. All God is saying, make sure you don't lose sight of the things that only you can do. And you can do better than anybody else. The society wants you to forget it. And what I'm saying is not politically correct. But God does not care what is politically correct. God says it like it is. And the reality, our society does not seem to be doing so well. The further we have gone from rejecting the scriptures. Am I right about that? The further we have gotten from rejecting the scripture, and we say we don't want our children learning this holy scripture, the further we get, the more it seems like our society is unraveling, until today our children don't even know who they are. And God is saying to you mommies, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to preach to mom because this is a Father's Day message, so I'm about to leave you. But God is saying to you mommy, don't ever forget that there is nobody who could nurture and supervise your child the way you can. He has specially equipped you for it. Seize the opportunity. Hallelujah. Number one, the father's discipline. Number two, a mother's supervision. Number three, parental affection. Children thrive on their parents' affection for them. Did you know that? I was counseling a family, trying to encourage the dad. The dad said to me, my kids ought to know that I love them because I work so hard. He says, I work hard and I have provided for my children, for their education, for their home. I provide everything for my child. And he said, they ought to realize I love them. He said, I love them. But if they're waiting for me to tell them I love them, he said, they're going to be waiting a long time. Is that how you feel? I said, come on, man, you can say it verbally. He says, if you ever knew what my father was like, I have come so far from what my father was. I don't need to be telling them. Have you told your son, Dad, have you told him you love him? Have you told your daughter you love her? Have you told them how proud you are of them? How thankful you are to God for giving them to you? Do they know? Have they ever had the, do they often get the chance to feel this nice, cuddly feeling because they have their father's affection? Mom, you need to do it too, but I'm only talking to fathers because it's Father's Day. And can I be honest? Okay, we're usually the culprit here. Fathers, we think it's not macho to say to this little child, I love you. Don't you like hearing somebody say they love you? It means a lot to your child. Children thrive. Children thrive on their parents' affection for them. But children thrive on their parents' affection for each other. Ha! Let's go back to Ephesians. You know, I've been going through the book of Ephesians. So I'm still calling this message one of my messages on this series. I will skip out when I get to these parts. Ephesians chapter 6. I won't have to preach in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 anymore. But I will be preaching some more on Ephesians chapter 5 when we get there, even though I'm referring to it now. But Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. Therefore, husbands, what? Husbands, what? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives, what? As their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Guys, did you see that? We are supposed to love our wives as much as we love ourselves. That's a whole lot of loving. And just in case you don't love yourself, he says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That is even more loving. Sacrificial love. Do you love your wife that way? Oh, we're not going to do a survey this morning. But do you really love your wife that way? You see, it does our children a whole lot of good when they see mom and dad demonstrating affection for each other. You know, back in the day, parents said, oh, the children should never see us showing any affection. What sort of crazy family is that? Your children never even see you hug and kiss. What's that? Is that how you want it? The kids need to see affection. You know, the kids, they go to school, and some of them, they have friends whose marriages have been destroyed. Their parents have broken up, and they have to deal. These children are dealing with pain, and they share the pain with their friends. Your child has been with friends whose parents have broken up, and they know what it's like. And some of your children worry, is this going to happen at my house? Am I telling you, is this a news flash for you? Did you realize that your kids actually have those sorts of thoughts? Are my parents going to split up? Particularly when you fuss and don't ever seem to make up. But when he comes home and that fuss, oh, the fuss has to happen sometimes. But when they see you fussing and making up and coming back and embracing and loving each other and they see this affection, they recognize, no, God has got my mom and dad together, and God is holding them together by the power of his hand. Amen. Your kids have a sense of security because of the demonstration of affection. How is it at your house? This is not a marriage message. Oh, I could go in so many tangents in this message. But I want to say to you guys, if things aren't good at home, get help. It actually matters to your children that you get help. You may say, oh, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to tough it out. I put myself in this mess. I may as well just survive. Do you know we have seen some miracles in this church? You don't need to know what they are. But we've seen some marriage miracles. And God can do a miracle in your life in your marriage, if you're willing. Now, more often than not, it's the guy who won't come. A few cases, it's a woman. But guys, I'm saying to you, if your marriage isn't working well, I encourage you to take the initiative to get it fixed. Because if you are willing to submit to God, chances are your wife would say, okay, I'll go for the counseling too. Usually am I right about it? We guys are usually the ones who say, I don't need nobody's help. I'm a man. I can manage my own business. So I'm going to encourage you guys, for the children's sake and for your own sake, get it right. Amen? Get it right. Listen, one, the father's discipline. Second, the mother's supervision. Three, parental affection. And here is the fourth one the study found was critical. These are the four. The family's cohesiveness. The family's cohesiveness. Children thrive in a family that does stuff together. Did you hear what I'm saying? Children thrive in a family who do things together, who spend time together. You know, in that same verse of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, as fathers, we have a responsibility to bring up our children in the instruction of the Lord. We're supposed to be teaching our children. And one of the ways we teach our children is formally. We sit them down, we have our family devotions. And you know, we've been pushing this for a while, and hopefully most of our families have started having regular family devotions. We even went to the trouble of ordering books so you can buy them right here to have family devotions, because it's a big deal. I have a responsibility to bring up my children in the instruction of the Lord, and one of the ways I do that as they were younger is to have family devotions where I formally instruct them from Scripture. We have devotions, we go through the Bible, we comment, I can get their input. Hey, formal. But the reality is, children learn more from informal instruction than from the formal instruction. As someone once said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Children do better seeing the lesson than hearing the lesson. Are you with me? And the way we get the children to see the lesson is to spend time with our children. And I don't want you to miss what God did with the children of Israel back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So I'm going to have you to turn there as our last scripture for the day. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. It's a well-known verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. And here's what God said to them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Are you seeing what God is saying? God is saying you are to teach, you are to instruct your children as you live life together with your children. It's not just a matter of sitting them down to have devotion. It's actually living life together with your children. It's informal. And I'm going to suggest to you that this is one of the biggest areas where Christians fail. Because many times we come back as Christians and we wonder what went wrong. I had all these wonderful devotions with my child. How could they have gone so far afield? I'm going to suggest one of the possible reasons is because the teaching in the devotion was never reinforced by living together with these children. It is important that we live a life together. And I want to encourage some of you. By the way, if you notice this church, we are doing everything we can to encourage you. That's why we're starting to plan all these activities. Parents, we want to see you. The Sunday school is planning activities. And the reason they're doing that and having all these awards is hopefully they can get the parents to come. Now, we'll take the parents, but the ideal is for you as daddy to come. I thank God for my dad. I thank God for my mom, but I thank God particularly for my dad. My dad eventually had a very successful in business. He was chief operating officer for an insurance company, was elder in a church. He was a very busy man. But I tell you, he would come home. He taught us dominoes. That's why you guys have a hard time beating me. But sometimes he would still have on his tie. And he would come out when we were younger. He would have on his tie and he'd be on the lawn kicking soccer. Football, we call it. You know, it is your foot you're using. That's why we call it football. My Brazilians are saying thank you. Because American football. I thought this was your hand. This is, let me leave that one alone. But you know, sometimes on a Saturday, he would say, let's go to the beach. 3.5 hours each way, because sometimes he wants to go to a faraway beach. We'd spend 7 hours plus the time we're at the beach, just together. Can you imagine how much we were learning? He didn't think he was teaching, but you see, God's method is that you're learning more that way than just sitting me down. Because when you just sit me down, I really want to run. Kids, after about 10 minutes of devotion, you know, they're tuned you out. But while you're doing life together, they're learning so much. They're learning that God can be trusted. They're learning that God is faithful. They're learning that there's power in prayer because they're cued into the conversation. I told you one of the stories about how the car broke down and how God, my dad prayed and the miracle had happened. Yes, we learn a whole lot. We learn not to badmouth people. We learn that we should have a heart of compassion for those who are less fortunate than ourselves. We are learning while we are doing life together. And I want to say to my good friends, because I love you all, you know that. I'm going to say it anyhow, although we're talking about a multi-ethnic church, but I'm going to talk to some folks who look like me. Do you mind? Just for a second. Guys, I am really troubled as to where you are. Where are we? You know, I go to so many things that don't have a ball. Are you with me? It is time, guys, to start doing things with your children that is not centered on a ball. It's okay to do the things with a ball, but it's time to do stuff. Listen, I don't know what your dream is. You think they're going to all become basketball stars or soccer stars or whatever star? I don't want to crush you, but not everybody is. But why not help our children to have a more diverse mind? Why not take them to these places where there is science? Why not take them to some of these places for the arts? Why not take them to some of these places so they can be exposed to some of the beauties of God's creation? Where are we? And I tell you guys, my wife and I sometimes we said, wow, there are 200 people here, all these men. And I'm like, where are my brothers? We have got to change. Guys, it's time for a change. Can I hear the guy say amen? Amen? It's time for a change. Yes, go where the ball is bouncing, but start taking these kids to places where no ball is bouncing. Let their minds dream. Let them explore. Who knows, there might be an incredible scientist in your family who, if he's exposed to something in the scientific field, he may say, and you show some interest in it? Oh, you got to show some interest too. Don't just take them there and say, well, let's keep moving. I'm only here because Brother Brian said I should come. You got to show some interest. Amen. You might be amazed what you might wake up. Some sleeping giant might awaken in this child. But listen, you are teaching stuff. You are teaching. So guys, how is it at your house? Perhaps somebody needs to have some change. I'm going to wrap the message up with point number 5. You said, I thought you said there were only 4. This is... the Jamaicans call this brata. This is an extra. And I believe this is the most important of all 5. Key number 5, a home with Christ at the center. You see, in Psalm 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. You see, it's good to have kids that are well adjusted. They're not social, antisocial. They're not dysfunctional. They're not juvenile delinquents. But to be honest, I wasn't raising my kids just for that. I wanted God to touch my children. I wanted God to use my children. I wanted that when my children grow up, they would know God and love God. And I'm saying to you, my friend, that will not happen unless you decide that Christ is going to be the center of my home. And listen, he can't be the center of your home if he's not the center of your life. And let's be honest, there's some people here this morning, you're not even sure he lives in you. And this morning, as we talk about parenting, in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I want to receive you. I'm going to ask you in a moment just to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward this morning. But I'm going to ask some of you this morning to say, God, I want you in my life. Some of you are already Christians, but the Lord is in the back seat. You know, they used to have a sign, God is my co-pilot. It is in people's car. He don't want to be no co-pilot. Because you're saying, I'm the pilot, you can sit beside me. No, God, you're not the pilot of my home. I want you to be my pilot. I hope you're going to do that. That you're going to say, God, I want Christ to be the center of my home. I close with a story. About 35 years ago, we attended an award ceremony for one of the leading insurance companies. The salesman of the year was called out. And the president of the company said, he said, this was 35 years ago. He said, our company paid Mr. So-and-so $8 million in commissions last year. Now, 35 years ago, $8 million was real money. It still is money today, but 35 years ago, it was real, real, real money. $8 million just from this company. How much did he make overall? We had no idea. So they gave him his award, and they asked him, did he want to say a few words? He went to the microphone and broke into tears. It got my attention. I was 35 years younger. I had young kids. This was our hero. We all wanted to be like this guy. And this guy has broken into tears. And he said to us, he says, you guys know I have a home in Paris. I have a home in the Virgin Islands. I have a home in New York City. He says, and here I am. I've made all this money. But he says, I'm a lonely man. He said, not even one of my children would come to see me receive this award. He said, I've lost all my children. He said, you know, when I was younger and the children were young, I was so focused on my career. He said, I never had time for them. Well, in the context of our message, he didn't have time to discipline. He didn't have time to be with them. He didn't have time to show affection. Bottom line, he said, I didn't have time for my children. And he said, no, they don't have any time for me. And he cried, he cried. When he composed himself, he looked at us and he said, I want to encourage you young parents. Don't let this happen to you. He says, I would give everything I have for a chance to be father. Some of you are sacrificing so much. You're chasing this and you're chasing that. And God is saying, don't lose sight of the best. And today, I hope if there's some dad, some mom, who will say to God, God, I want to do better. Will you help me? If you say that, he will.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.